Well, if you haven't figured it out already, this morning we are here to start the conversation about what's next. And scripted or not, there's a lot of people that are really excited about what's happening and what's going on, and we are really excited to start telling you all about it. As we've worked through these last few months, and even the last couple of years as a leadership team, as we've consulted with you and let you know as much as we can, and asked questions and gotten feedback, there's this building of anticipation that we've had. And as there's a build of anticipation, there's somebody who told me a little while ago this phrase that's been rattling around in my head for the last little while. And it's this concept that fear writes its own fiction. This idea that sometimes when you're afraid or you're unsure, you don't know what's going on, you know this. You'll get in your own head and you'll start writing the story of what's happening. And every time maybe that started to creep in over the course of the last couple years as we've been working towards this point, we remembered this. It's that we can feel confident in the future because God's been faithful in the past. We can feel confident in our future because God has been faithful in the past. Whether that's 172 years ago when this church was planted by a first-time pastor fresh out of college, and in a church that was planted with 200 seats, even though there were only 50 people in the town. That's a church, that's a group that went, we are confident in what's going to happen here, even though we don't know exactly what that is yet. Whether that's a church that grew and then moved again and then was a two-point charge and then grew past the point that it could be and then it outgrew a building to the point that you ended up here, we can be confident because God has started something, and we know that every time God has started something that he finishes it. And we know this, and we're going to live in this idea as we move through the book of Hebrews, and we're going to link that with Genesis as we look at the story of Abraham over the course of the next few weeks. Hebrews 11 says this, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for." I love this verse. First of all, it gives the confidence. Faith is the confidence in what we hope for. And then, as we're going to see in a minute, the author of Hebrews says the ancients, they were commended for this. They were lifted up high for the faith that they had and what they were going to do next, even though they didn't know what all of those pieces were. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. This is one of those things in our world. This is one of those fear fiction touch points that we have. There's a part of this world, and we all live in it, in culture, where everything that's created, everything we can see, is man-made. We're in control of it. We did it. We're in charge. We often build altars to ourselves instead of altars to God. And we're going to talk about that a lot through this series too. But here, right in the beginning of Hebrews 11, it says, God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. I'm going to jump here just through Hebrews 11 for a minute just to make my point. It's not on the screen because I'm going to jump around verses. If you're trying to follow me, don't bother. But here we go. Here's what it says, starting in verse 5, and then, here we go. It says, "By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. And without faith, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By faith, Abraham, when called to go in place, to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed even though he did not know where it was going. All of these people lived and died by faith. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons. By faith, Joseph, when the end was near, spoke of the Exodus to the Israelites. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child. And by faith, Moses, when he had grown, refused to be known as the son, as Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea on dry land. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed in those with those who were disobedient. And then 32 just sums up the rest that they don't have time to talk about. And what shall I say? I don't have time to tell you about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Japheth and David and Samuel and the prophets who by faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of the lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received their dead back, rising into life. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. We are here because of the people who were before us who had faith. And so now it's our turn to take that step. 172 years ago, a group took a step in and by faith, not knowing what would happen. This town wasn't even called Inner-Kip yet. It was still called Melrose. And before that, people were walking from Woodstock to here to go and to partake in a church service, or the ministers would walk here to deliver one. By faith, you took the cross from the old building and you walked it over here, as you'll see in the pallets, and you started something new. And by faith, again, we say, what is that for us? What's next for us here? And so here's how we're going to work through this conversation. I'm going to give you a brief overview of what we're going to be doing and what we're going to be studying over the next 7 weeks. And then I'm going to give you some information as to what that step of faith for us looks like. What we're going to do is we're going to study the story of Abram, both through the New Testament lens, the new promise lens of Hebrews 11, and the Old Testament or the old promise lens of Genesis chapter 12. Now, if you don't know who Abram is, you're going to learn a lot about him in the next few weeks, but here are a few things to remember about Abram in his day. First, when it was Abram's day, your legacy was with your family. That was your legacy. You worked for your family. If you had a trade, if you had a job, if you had a history, your role, your job when you grew up was to maintain the family line, to build the family up, to boost up the patriarch, because that's how it worked. And that's what you did. It was to generate legacy for your family. He was responsible. You were responsible for your kinship, not just your immediate family. Many of us live with four or five people in the house. And if you live with more than that, God bless you, because somebody has to. Whew. Okay. You looked after your kinship, your aunts and uncles, your cousins would live under your household, your grandpas and grandmas, everybody around. You had a responsibility as the head of your household to your larger extended family, and thus you had a responsibility to bless those in your household. You needed to make sure that your group was taken care of. And so it's not uncommon that these groups would work to build their family wealth and to build their family inheritance and to build their family legacy. They would plant in one place because it's a lot easier to build a house without having to pick it up and move it all the time. But then God comes to Abraham and he says this. He says, the Lord had said to Abram, go. Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Joe, we're going to go backwards one here. First, this go. Because of everything that I just said and more that we're going to talk about over the course of the next few weeks, going was a wild idea. Going, leaving that history, leaving that legacy was not something that was just done lightly or really done at all. You didn't go. You stayed, you maintained. That's what you did. And then second, God says, I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. We're going to talk about this too, but Abram was married to a woman named Sarah who couldn't have children. How are you going to make my name, my family legacy great? By both making me leave and then stopping me from being able to continue my family. And then God promises, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And Abram, if I were him, would go, how? How is that going to work? And at the beginning of that section of Hebrews, the by faith, by faith, by faith, you see Abram right at the beginning, one of those ancients of old who was looked up to because of the faith, because of the bold step by faith that he took so that the next generation and the next generation could learn about Jesus. Here was Abram's choice. Abram had to choose. His job, his typical upbringing would have been about his family legacy. But here's what God was calling him to. God was calling him to a historical legacy. Something that was way bigger than him. Something that he couldn't understand. By the way, our theme verse, Philippians 1:6, talks about how we don't stop until the day of completion. Abram didn't see the day of completion, but thousands of years later, here we are because of the choice that he made to go. His choice was between his kinship or all of humankind. That's where he was living between. Do you just look after your family, or do you step out by faith? Because God says, I have something for everybody through you. Abram says, I'm here to bless my people. God says, no, you're here to bless all people. And here's the interesting part about this, and I think for us, as we continue to talk about this, this was one of the biggest struggles about the decision that we made. One of the biggest struggles, the decision we made, is that we weren't necessarily deciding between something that was bad and something that was good. There are a lot of faithful churches who are finding ways to make it work and finding ways to do things. Not every choice is between bad and good. Abram's choice was between good and great. That's the choice that Abram made. And when we sat and tried to figure out what was next for us, we realized that was the choice that we needed to make too. We needed to look up to what was good, what we could do by staying pat, but standing still. It's not like we were going to stop doing our mission. It's not like we were going to disappear off the face of the map. Good things absolutely could have continued to keep happening, and that would have been fine. And for Abram's family too, he probably would have been good. But God had something great for him, and by faith, we believe that God has something great for us as well. And so we want to continue our mission here as a church in Interkip. And that mission is to introduce people to Jesus, to deepen our faith, and to serve others. If you haven't been here for that long, we talk about this all the time. Every decision that we make gets filtered by one of these three things. Even something as small as renting the building, which is a story I'm going to tell you about a little later. When we talk about introducing people to Jesus, we want a place that people can get to know Jesus. That's what we want. And we want to give you multiple different ways to do that. Sometimes that's a big event outside with signs and balloons and a barbecue that says, come one, come all. Sometimes it's an opportunity like Alpha or a one-time service where it says, invite your friends. But what we really want to do is make sure that every time you step in here, you have the confidence of knowing that when you bring somebody to this place, they will be welcome and safe. And by the way, so will you be. Because when you invite somebody to church or into a conversation about Jesus, you stick your neck out too. If you haven't been a new person in church for a while, invite somebody who doesn't like church and then sit beside them, and you'll figure out what that feels like real fast. Because all of a sudden you're like, oh, was that good? Was that, oh, did they understand that? Oh, did they just say something? And what we want is we want you to just be able to sit in your chair the whole time and go, we know this is a safe place to bring people. That doesn't mean we're not going to go deep and learn important things. It just means we want to make sure it's a place where people can belong. We want to deepen our faith. We want to go deeper every day, not just 1 hour a week. There's 168 hours in the week, and this hour that we spend together is great. But if this is the only hour you're deepening your faith, you're going to have a hard time deepening it, or it's going to take a really, really long time, and you're only going to get so far. We try our best, and we will continue as we go forward to try to find ways during the week, every week, that you can deepen your faith at home and as a family. And we want to serve others. Here's a question that we've been trying to figure out how to answer for the last little while, and we're having a lot of fun doing it. How do we be an essential part of our community? How do we become such an essential part of Interkip that people who don't go here, that have never stepped in here, if we close tomorrow, they would go, oh, no. How do we answer that question? And once we do, we have a ton of confidence in the idea that we're going to be able to have influence in our community because they're going to see that we're serving them and caring for them in their place of need, not just here. Abram went. He didn't stay. And we need to go outside of these four walls as well into our community to see what our community needs. And so what's next for us? What does this all mean? Well, some of you know this information. Some of you are going to learn it for the first time. Here's what I'm going to tell you. We've met with a whole bunch of our leaders, a whole bunch of people already. And some of those people have got a lot of information, and some of them have got a little bit less, because here's what we know. We understand that in a setting like this, where I really only get about a half an hour to talk, we can't get all of the information to you at once. I know that you're going to be left with a couple of questions about what's next after what I talked to you today. And here's some great news. We've got elders that are posted up with name tags. They're going to be at all the pallets, and they're going to be spread out after our lunch today so that you can talk to them. It's highly likely, looking around, and I actually think this is true, that there's almost somebody in every row that probably has a lot of information that you might want to know. There's likely that you can turn to somebody in your row or behind you or in front of you and go, hey, do you know what's going on? And they're going to be able to go, yeah, what do you need to know? We are going to try to get as much information out to you as we can. I'm going to condense it a little bit this morning, but we're going to continue to roll things out as we go. And there are a lot of people in this room that already know what's going on, and we would encourage you to talk to them. Here's the big one. Here's the one that I think most people are aware of. We're leaving our denomination. Right now, we're a part of the Presbyterian Church in Canada, and over the course of the last few years, they have made some theological decisions, more than one, that really make us just unsettled and uncomfortable with the direction of the denomination and where it's going. And they made a handful of these decisions, and one of them was sort of big enough that they saw that some churches might want to find a way to go do something new. And so the denomination has figured out a way for us to do that, and we'll talk about what that path is for a minute. But what we are doing is we are taking a bold step by faith out of not only the legacy of this church, but the denomination that we've been a part of for the entire time, because we think that the next step in order to stay true to who we are requires a move like that. Here's what that means for us. One of the big things, one of the things outside of the mission, which is the key part, which is why we start with it and why we're ending with it. Here's something, again, that you may or may not know. We're buying our building back from the denomination. Now, typically, this isn't possible. This isn't something that has been able to happen before. There have been Presbyterian churches that have left the denomination before, but they've left with their people, and they've had to leave the building and the paperclips and everything else behind and start new. But what the denomination did is they created a path for churches who were looking to leave to do that. What they said was, we'll give you a limited time window that you can choose to go under this plan. And it's been debated as to whether or not it was a good plan or a bad plan, but to be honest, it doesn't really matter, because when God says go, you go, and you figure out what the plan is after that as he teaches you how to do it. And we've done research and reading and talking, and we've done as much planning as we can, but there's a point at which you just need to go, hey God, you have to have the rest, because we don't know what it is, and that's where we're at. And so here's what we do absolutely know. In order to stay in this building, to stay here in Interkip, which we think is important because it's a great space, because we're right here in town, because even in the last year, as we've seen rooms every single night full. I was talking to somebody this week that when I was trying to book a room and I couldn't believe the gymnastics that I had to play to try to find a spot, because the amount of things happening in here, and we hope that that continues to be the case. We want to be a hub for this community. So we're going to stay in here, and that means we owe the denomination half of the value of our assets. Okay? So you take the building, the building, 33,000 square foot building, the property, about 10 acres, and all the assets, so the chairs and the lights and the microphones when they work and everything else. Okay, we add all that up together, and then we cut that in half, and that's what we need to pay the denomination in order to leave it. And so what we owe the denomination, our value is $3.6 million. That's our overall value, assets, land. Some of you might go, boy, that's a little low. We're not sad about that, especially in this case. Some of you might go, that's a little high. Well, Brian's trying to work down, so we'll figure out that too. Either way, that's around what we're looking at. It means that we owe the denomination half of that, $1.8 million. That's what we need to break, to give them in order to leave the denomination. I'm sorry. Okay. Now, there's two ways to look at this number, and I've had a lot of conversations with a lot of people. One of them is, we just built this building 20 years ago, and it's a real bummer that this is the case. In a little bit, that's true. Also, if you look at a 33,000 square foot building on 10 acres of land, you look and go, good luck for that number anywhere ever in this world, especially in this region where we live. It's just not going to happen. So what I would encourage you to do is try to look at it from the blessing side, even though every once in a while it's okay for you to be a little bit bummed out about that. This really isn't the focus. So what we need to do here to make sure that we maintain the things that we need is that we need to raise at least $900,000 over the course of the next 3 years. This allows us to make sure that we maintain the things that we're doing and we stay in the building at the same time. Now, here is one of the most interesting parts of this story that I know that not everybody knows, and one of the things that I actually think makes it really, really neat. We're at no risk of losing the building. Okay? We have a financial institution that was willing to mortgage up to 60% of the total value. And since we only owe 50, that means that we can put all 1.8 on a mortgage. It means that if nobody gives a dollar to this thing, we'll still be worshiping in this building the day that we leave the denomination. But I don't know if you've seen interest rates lately, but even the best interest rate that we can squeeze on a $1.8 million mortgage is going to be a pretty big mortgage payment. So while we're at no risk of losing our building, our risk is actually slowing our mission. If we feel like long-term being here is the right thing to do, then we know that we need to make sure that we maintain the mission of this church. Nobody wants to come in here after it's over and have half of the offerings to our community cut, to not have the opportunity to do some of the things that we're doing or to interact with the people we interact with. That's not what we're looking for. In fact, we would like to grow the mission even more as we've seen our church community grow over the course of the last 6 months. And so as we consider giving to this goal, we are giving towards the building. That is certainly true. We have made a choice that we would like to stay here. But if we would like to stay here and do God's work at the same time, we are certainly giving towards the mission. And that's a really important thing for all of us to keep in mind. Now, there are a few next steps for you right away. We're going to give you more information as we go, but here are the next steps for you. First, we want you to pray for others to meet Jesus. We want you to be mission-focused first. We want to pray you to pray for opportunities, not only to deepen your faith in him, but for you to be able to share the gospel message with other people, because without that, we aren't doing anything. Jesus Christ is the hub of the wheel. He's the center. He's why we're here. And so we want to continue to pray for and not lose sight of opportunities to point people to him. Second, we want you to grow in your faith. Many of you will have received something going in. It looks like this. It's a prayer journal. If you don't have one, you can give a wave and Charles will find your wave and he will bring one over to you right away. What this prayer journal is starting tomorrow, a 21-day journey of prayer. Every day you're going to have the opportunity to read a short reflection, to read scripture, to pray, and to take notes, to pray for what your desire is, what God's desire is for our mission, for what we're looking for, and then to write those things in this book. As well, in this prayer journal, there are challenges at the beginning of each week. I said earlier that sometimes we end up building altars to God, and although to ourselves, and although this is a great building that we love and we would like to keep, we don't want this building to be an altar to us. We want this building to be an altar to God. And in order to do that, we make sure that we don't look around and go, look what we did, look what we did, look what we did. We say, look what God has done. And so every single week, what we want you to do is build an altar at home. And you're going to have instructions on how to do that. This is intended for you to do as a family. If you have young kids or little kids, we would encourage you to make sure that you interact with them. If this means you need to take 20 minutes or 30 minutes in your day to slow down so that you can do it at their pace. If this means that you build an altar out of rocks and you have a 5-year-old like mine or a 3-year-old. Oh, I have a 3-year-old now. It's Waverly's birthday or Renly's birthday. I have a 3-year-old today. Or a 3-year-old who, when you build a tower of rocks, she just kicks them down and you're going to have to rebuild them every day. That's fine. We would encourage you to do that and to follow along. There are family activities in here as well. And then in the back side, there are spots for you to write notes in every week of this sermon series, including today, which is maybe information you could have used 45 minutes ago. There are pens in front of you if you want to write some notes. We have prepared you for that as well. But we would encourage you to bring these with you every single week to church over the course of the next 3 weeks. We want these to be a living and breathing testament and journal of what God is doing now. And we want to be able to read these in 5 years and go, wow, look what we prayed for and look what God has done. In the back, there are some resources and some other things to look at. If you would like multiple copies of this, we do have extras. There's also PDF versions online that you can download. They're all over the place. There's no reason that you shouldn't have one. Next, we want you to stay informed. We have tried to be as transparent about everything that's going on as often as we can be. Here's one thing we really believe in, though. We believe in giving information when we have full information or enough information to give. And what that means is that every once in a while, you're going to ask us or one of our leadership a question, and you're going to go, have you thought of this? And we're going to go, we have thought of that. We're working on it, but we don't know yet. And then you're going to go, well, can you tell us what you've done so far? And we're going to go, we could, but here's what we're worried about. And every one of you has experienced this. You get half a story, and then your next thing is, oh, well maybe you'll do this. And you go, oh, maybe we will. And, oh, well, maybe you do this. Oh, yeah, we might. And then that person goes, tells somebody else, and then 2 stories later, either that's what's happening, or that's a really good idea, and if that doesn't happen, okay? So we just want to make sure that when we're giving information, we're giving whole, full information so that you have the confidence of when you're hearing something, it's fully formed and fully thought through. There is a way for you to find out all about this on a regular basis. We have a website that is live right now today called whatsnextinnerkip.com. Here you will find a whole bunch of information about the campaign. You will find all of the videos, testimony videos that we have so far. We're going to continue to add a few more over the course of the next few weeks. There's information on giving. We will have a tracker of how much has been committed, how much has been donated, and a handful of other resources as well. There's Alecto 365. There's playlists. Make sure you go to the website, and it's going to be alive. It's not one of those things that like, oh, this is where the information was, and I looked at it once. It's going to be continuously updated, continuously added to. For the first couple weeks, we'll have that compilation video there at the front, and then that top video on the website, when you see it, will start to turn into weekly or bi-weekly updates of where we are in the process and what we're doing next. We want you to know everything that's going on as soon as we can get that information to you. Finally, we need you to give to What's Next. We need you to consider how you are going to give to this campaign. We have to raise $900,000 over the course of 3 years to make sure that we can maintain ministries and our mission in this building. And in order to do that, what that doesn't mean, what can't actually happen, is that you go, well, this is how much I'm giving right now, and instead of giving it to the general fund, I'm just going to divert it to this fund. That's a really cool idea, except then what happens is we can pay for the building, but not for the hydro. Which, I mean, we dealt with a little bit on Friday, and I think we just like it better with the hydro. Okay? We can worship without it. We'd like it to stay on. Okay. So, what we need you to consider is how you're going to give over and above your regular giving already. We need you to pray about that. That's why we want to stay on mission. We gave you a prayer journal, not so that you could stress over the next 3 weeks about what this looks like and how it's going to happen. We gave one to you because we understand that for each and every one of us, whether it's you or us on staff or as leadership, this is a prayer and God issue for us, that we need to be moved by the Spirit and that each person is going to be moved in their direction. And whatever direction you're moved, that is okay. And even though we don't know sometimes how it's going to work, that it's your faith in Jesus that needs to build that trust forward. And so we want to make sure we give you an opportunity to do that. If you're unsettled 3 weeks from now, when we ask for your commitments, the first question I'm going to ask is, did you pray every day through the journal? And if you say no, I'm going to go, I have an idea as to why you're unsettled. And you're going to go, oh. And then you're going to go home and you're going to like crib through 14 days or 6 days or however many you skipped. Or maybe we'll just talk about that now and we'll just commit to not doing that as a group, okay? We want you to pray through what this looks like and how it's going to be. And then we want you to give what God puts on your heart to give boldly by faith. Now, a few of you have some questions. I know this because I've talked to some people. I can't cover all of the answers here, but a couple of the frequently asked ones I'm ready for today. Elders will be posted up and we'll be available through the website. You can also ask questions through the forms at the bottom, either about the campaign or you can get in touch with an elder if you'd like to do that as well. But here are a couple of the questions that we wanted to cover just to make sure you had a little bit more information. What's our timeline? Everybody wants to know, when is this all happening? Well, here's the goal. Our What's Next campaign launches today. So when we talk about 3 years, it's 3 years today. This is the day we're planting the flag. This is our green light. Here's the day we go. After this series, we will continue to follow up and maintain and make sure that the information continues to flow. On the back end, we're doing a ton of work. Bylaws, contracts, policies, branding, all of that stuff. And our goal is that by the middle or end of October, we will be at a place where we can call our second vote. Some of you are here for the first vote. We need to vote one more time as part of the PCC's process to leave the denomination. Once that vote happens in the affirmative, we are immediately considered a departing fellowship. That means even if all of the paperwork and everything isn't signed yet, the PCC basically looks at us and goes, you're now out. And we're asked to immediately publicly disassociate with the denomination until the back end stuff is done. What does that mean? Well, it means a couple things that we're working through right now. One of them is, right now, the new church as an entity, as a legal entity, exists. It has three board members on it. We're going to have to onboard a whole bunch of members. We're going to have to vote in some elders. We're going to have to get some trustees. We're going to have to put the pieces in place. We're still trying to figure out how that's all going to work and where we're going to do it. And when we know exactly how it's going to work, we will tell you right away. It also means that we're going to have a closet full of signage. And on Sunday, we're going to have the vote. And on Monday, we're going to start putting new stuff up around. That week leading up to that first next service, we will have a celebration service during the week for those who would like to take part in that, for those who have maybe been a part of the Presbyterian Church for a long time but believe that this is the right move, or those who have just been a part of this church for the long time. We believe that it's important to close that off well and celebrate as well, and we will plan a midweek service for that too. Will we join another denomination? The short answer to this is maybe, but we're not sure. And here's why. Yeah, right? You got one right away. Because we want to make sure that we spend the time to gain the information that we need, that it's not something that we rush. We don't want to leave and immediately jump into something new just because we feel like we should or we should have to without having all the information that we feel like we need. So what we'll do is we'll take probably a year or two on our own, unaffiliated for a while. Then the elders will start a process of sifting through denominations. We will whittle that list down to probably three or five. Then we will deep dive. We will meet with their leadership. We will meet with other churches. And at the same time we do that, we will do that with other non-denominational churches. And when we get all that information, we will pull it all together and we will bring it to you and we will talk about it. We want to make sure that we're intentional, that we don't cause a crisis, and that we move at a pace that's reasonable. And so that's the plan right now. Is anything changes? Will you meet? Will you notice anything? Well, a handful of things. Probably the name is going to change, so you can look forward to that and what that looks like. From a leadership perspective, not a lot will change, but understanding that we're leaving a bit of an accountability umbrella when you have a denomination or a large body of churches around you, what we have tried to do our best is in our bylaws to build in new safeguards and other levels of accountability. And we're continuing to explore other areas to do that and to build them in because we want to make sure we're not just a group of people who go rogue and can do what we want. We want to make sure that actually we're a team, that we do these things together, and that we're a group that works as one. And so we are making sure that the changes that we do make right now on the back end have a lot more to do with increasing accountability than anything else. And finally, somebody asked me this question, and so I just wanted to touch on it. Currently, what's our status with the denomination? Are they upset with us? And the answer is no. They created this process knowing that some people were going to go through it, and when we chose to go through it, we made a decision to go through this process with openness and as much integrity as we possibly could. We've been in regular conversation with our interim moderators. We've been in regular conversation with the head office. We've been in regular email back and forth, and next week or early the week after, there's a group of us that are going to Toronto to head office to meet with them in person to work out a whole bunch of the back-end details. They've been wonderful to us. They've been encouraging and very helpful when we've needed to, and we have tried, in kind to be the same. There's no heat there. We're all good. So here's what I would like to close this with. Through all of this, through this campaign, we want to make sure that we're continuing to follow our mission, to introduce people to Jesus, to deepen our faith, and to serve others. And here's what we're asking. We're boldly asking you to give $900,000 towards what's next, believing by faith that the Lord can provide more. We know that the Lord is the ultimate multiplier. We have story after story after story of times when he came through with more than people expected. And so we want to boldly ask for this because we believe this is what we need in order to make sure we can maintain what's happening. But we know that we pray to a God that is bigger than the prayers that we can imagine. And so we want to, by faith, make sure that we don't stop with the things that we think we're in control of, but that we leave room for the Lord to provide even more than what we can handle or what we can expect. Whether that's through this campaign or through people who come to our door or opportunities in our community or growing in faith. And so I'll leave you with the verse that you're going to hear a whole lot about in the next few weeks. It says this. It says, "I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." 172 years ago, God began a good work here in Melrose. Then it became Interkip. Then the building moved. Then the church grew. Then the church grew again. And now is the next step that we don't have to take. Now is the next step that we get to take because God has laid the steps out before for us. We know that those ones exist in front of us. And I don't know about you, and I know I made everybody say it at the end of the video because you just like to put a button on these things, but I am legitimately and actually excited about what's next for our church. And so this is going to be a ton of fun, and we hope that you're excited too. If you have any questions, make sure you run into us in the atrium or sit with somebody during lunch, and we'll try to give you as much information as we can. Let's pray together. God, this church that you planted here for us to serve in, for us to worship in, for us to grow our faith deeper in, has existed for a long time. It's existed in many forms. There have been lots of different people that have crossed the stage to teach and to sing and to read scripture and to tell stories and to give requests. And Lord, we pray that we have the opportunity to be the next generation that gets to do this for the next generation, that gets to do this for the next generation. God, we pray that you would step in to our hearts, that your Holy Spirit would show us what we're to do, that we would be bold in our faith and step out so that you can do what you want to do here. God, just use us as that vessel. Use us as the thing that you need. God, we don't want this to be about us. We don't want to build an altar to ourselves and look around or look at other churches or look down the street and go, look how cool we are. God, we want to be a group of people that goes, look how powerful and mighty and awesome you are. And God, hold us accountable to that in our hearts. Teach us how to do that better. And show us the way as we try to figure out what's next. Amen. There are moments where you sit and you go, how is God working? How is God moving? And you're going to see a whole lot of stories and personal testimonies about that over the course of the next little while. And we've seen a few of those recently. And I just want to tell you about one of them for us that sort of landed. About a year and a half ago, we made a commitment. And our commitment was we were going to look at our mission statement, introduce people to Jesus, deepen faith, serve others. And every decision, big or small, that we made, we were going to filter through those three things, whether it was what's going on in the building or a new ministry or even something like rentals. Now, if you've talked to Julia, our administrator, you know that rentals are her favorite part of the job. I don't know where she is, but yep, there she is. Yes, okay. But Julia will also tell you that as soon as we started looking at our rentals that way, figuring out what to do with them became a lot easier. Because we would get a request that would come in and we would say, is this going to help us introduce people to Jesus? Is this going to help us or others deepen their faith? And are we serving the community? And sometimes they just don't fit the criteria and that's an easy no. But we got a request a little while ago from a school down the street called Mill Pond Academy. And it was just to use the gym at first. And we said, sure, yeah, no problem. There's nothing going on there. And then we started to filter those conversations through, and they said, hey, actually, we're doing some expansion, some renovations. We need more space. And so we came and we showed them the upstairs, which we had just painted and got ready because we didn't know what we were doing, but we knew we needed it to get ready for something. And so they came and said, we'd like to use that space. And we went, great, what can you afford? And they gave us a number, and we went, wow, given the amount of space and the time you want it, that's way under market value. And we don't care. Because we think that we're serving our community by letting you be here. And we know now, looking back, that we've had the opportunity to not only deepen our own faith through this experience, but people from that school or that are attached to that school have visited us on Sunday mornings and have come to some of our events. We know that having kids in a church every day, even if you're not teaching them about church every day, is an opportunity to be introduced to Jesus. And then a few months later, as we were starting to build towards this campaign, which we realized none of us were fully equipped to do. We knew that we needed some outside help. And so we made a call and got connected with a group, a consultant group that helps us put this stuff together. Now, they didn't give us all of this stuff. What's next? Bold steps, by faith, the logo, that design, all that stuff is a teamwork. It's Amy, it's the elders, it's that prayer journal that you're holding. I mean, the amount of people in this room that contributed to that, whether it was the prompts or the prayers or the stuff for kids, all of that stuff was done here in-house. But we still knew that we needed direction. And I don't know if you at your work have ever hired a consultant, but they're a little expensive sometimes. And what we found out that over the course of 3 years or 3.5 years that they were going to commit to working with us, it was going to cost us about $50,000 Canadian. But what we didn't know is that 6 months earlier, God had already provided that money for us. Because even though it's undervalued, and even though we didn't know, over the course of the 2 years that Mill Pond is going to be here, that's just about the same amount that they're giving us to be here. We made a mission decision, and God went, I can work with that. We try every day here to make mission decisions so that God can look at us and go, I can work with that. And so as I release you today, here's what I say. As Don goes like this and reminds me to pray for the meal, which I will do. I will say that as you consider what this campaign looks like for you, as we step out boldly in faith, and as you maybe step out boldly in faith in your own family to figure out how you're going to give to this as well, we want you to filter those decisions through the mission that God has called for us to do, to introduce people to Jesus, to deepen your faith, and to serve others. And if we continue to do that, we have confidence that we're going to be just fine. I'm going to pray. There is a soup lunch happening in the gym. Make sure that you go out there, talk to some elders, go look at all of the pictures. They're going to be up for the next few weeks, so if you don't get to all the pallets, that's okay. Thanks so much for hanging in for a little bit of extra time today. We're really excited to go on this journey with you. Let's pray for lunch. God, thank you so much for today. Thanks that we get to be a church family that gets together, that serves, that loves, and that learns. And God, I pray that as we eat our meal together, that we would have just a great time of talking, of getting to know one another, and to figuring out how we're going to serve you next. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Have a great day. Run and get your kids. Your kids' ministry volunteers are going crazy. We'll talk to you soon.